Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Mahindra & Mahindra Limited Q3 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by IDFC Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Deepak Jain of IDFC Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello, everybody. We are delighted to be hosting the Q3 FY18 results conference call for Mahindra & Mahindra. Today, we have with us Dr. Pawan Goenka, Managing Director, and Mr. V. Parthasarathy, Group CFO and Group CIO. Over to you, Mr. Parthasarathy.
Thank you, Deepak. On behalf of M&M Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to everyone on this call. I will share some updates on key economic environment along with the financials for Q3 FY18. After my comments, Pawan will take a broader as well as deeper view on the auto and farm sectors. Let me briefly talk about macroeconomic updates. Tailwinds to fan stronger global recovery in 2018. The World Bank estimates that the growth will go up. Also, the U.S. tax cuts will boost U.S. growth prospects, and the global growth prospects have been upgraded to 2.8%. Closer home, FM has presented a far-sighted budget. By that, I mean it is focused on farm, agri, and rural far, and it is also focused on health drivers and growth drivers, guided by mission to strengthen agriculture, health, infrastructure, employment, and MSME. Fiscal deficit continues to be focused on, with it expected to go down to 3.3% next year from 3.5%. IIP growth is a shot in the arm. It has jumped up to 8.4%, propelled by manufacturing, which achieved 10.2%. MSP, which is now slated to be at 1.5 times of cost, will provide impetus to growth even while it will push inflation. That may not be so bad because India needs a little bit of inflation at this stage, is one line of thinking. December inflation is at 5.2%. The monetary policy announced by RBI day before yesterday kept the rate same and maintained a neutral stance, and that augurs well for Indian economy. On the back of this environment, let me share our financials for Q3. Happy to share that for quarter three, we have achieved the highest ever PAT at M&M plus MVML level in Q3 FY18. That is driven by a very robust volume growth. You will hear more in detail from Dr. Goenka. Net revenues at 11,491 crores is higher than previous year by 10.3%. Previous year figures was 10,420 crores. As mentioned by me in the last quarter, the previous year revenues have been reinstated to give the GST effect in our farm equipment business, and that you will see that reinstatement in the M&M plus MVML financials that we have shared with you. EBITDA is at 1,963 crores, is 19.6% higher than Q3 of previous year, which is at 1,415 crores. OPM margin is at 14.7%, higher by 110 basis points versus previous year of 13.6%. PBT at, sorry, my bad. PBIT of ₹1388 crores is higher by 23.9% against Q3 F17, which was at 1121 crores. PBT before EI at 1345 crores is higher by PBT before EI is 1345 crores versus the previous year of 1060 crores. And PBT after EI at 1731 crores is higher by 21.5% versus Q3 F17.
Okay, now I've arrived at the main station, so I can now continue to talk directly rather than through a con call. Higher tax rate continues in Q3 F18 at more than 31% on account of R&D weighted deduction reduced from earlier 200% to 150%, and investment allowance under Section 32AC, which was discontinued from F18 onwards, and there is no reduction in the headline tax rate. Considering the above, PAT before EI at 920 crores is up 19.2% against Q3 F17 when it was 772 crores. You would see that PAT after EI at 1306 is a jump of 63% as compared to the previous Q3 figures, which was published at 801. However, this same quarter, there was a provision of MTWL impairment, a two-wheeler impairment, which after merger has been reversed in the previous year. So we have reinstated that in the P&L of last year, and therefore the PAT of the previous year will be seen at 1117 crores and still records a very healthy growth of 17%. Coming to segment results, auto segment recorded a revenue of 7097 crores, which is growth by 11.6% versus previous year. Previous year figure 6359 crores. Segment results at 605 crores is higher by 33.9% versus Q3 last year, significantly higher than the revenue rate. So auto segment's top line growth 11.6%, bottom line 33.9%. FES, the segment revenue is at 4098 crores, which grew by 9.1% against previous year figures of 3758 crores. Segment result at 839 crores is higher by 14.8%. Last year was 730 crores. So top line growth of 9.1% and bottom line growth of 15%. Financial metrics, debt equity ratio continues to be 0.1 and net level is 0 or slightly negative. We will be publishing consolidated results after the board meeting of SYMC. However, I like to highlight some group messages. Our financial sectors did very well this quarter, delivering a 3x profit growth versus previous year. This strong turnaround further enhances our confidence on the rural upswing. With profit more than 1300 crores in 9 months at PBT level, it is well within the striking distance of crossing its earlier highs. TechM continues its digital journey and posted a PAT of 943 crores, which is a 10% growth YOY. This quarter, we have had two investment harvesting which has happened. MLL got listed and we, by selling a part of our stake, gives us a profit of 386 crores. Further, at a consolidated level, the fair value of the price we have gives the quarter a profit lift of 1500 crores. Our subsidiary company MOICML sold stake in CIE Automotive Spain, which gives us a profit before tax of 757 crores and a profit after tax of 589 crores at consolidated levels. All these figures you will see when the consolidated results are announced. But let me conclude by saying that on a standalone basis, we had profitable revenue growth in our auto and farm business, and our truck business has delivered strong volume growth, cementing its roadmap towards EBITDA breakeven. With that, I'll hand over to Dr. Goenka for his opening comment.
Thank you, Partha. And sorry that you didn't have enough time this time to go through the results, because the board meeting was in the afternoon, and we just finished the board meeting at 5:15 p.m. and then rushed for this analyst con call. So Partha has given you the financial results, quite a few numbers to chew in a very short time, but I'm sure that you have analyzed that very quickly. But let me give you a little bit on the performance insight. So first of all, on the union budget, Partha has given you an overall view, and I'm sure you also have a deep analysis of it. But basically, just I want to say that for our core businesses, that is auto and tractor, the budget is neutral to positive. Clearly, the agriculture and rural development thrust that the government of India has put speaks well for directly for tractor business, and also positive impact on the automotive business. There is a sort of hidden thrust in the budget on Make in India, which again speaks well for our company, our group, because most of what we do is Make in India. If I come to tractor industry, the industry for Q3 has performed better than what we had expected. When we started the quarter, we were thinking that it would be flat to maybe just marginally positive, and it ended up going 7.8% positive for the quarter. So that's better than we expected, and this is the second highest Q3 industry ever. And this is obviously on the basis of very good production of kharif crop, positive sentiment in rural area, and government's trust in agri and rural. For Mahindra, we were roughly about the same as the industry, marginally lower for the quarter. But overall, for 9 months, we are right on the dot as the industry growth, which is 18% YTD January. And Mahindra is also 18% YTD January. And we are maintaining our market share as in last year. This year, we expect the industry to end up highest ever, which was last time FY14. From FY14, we see 6 to 8% growth for the FY18 industry. So overall, the tractor industry is doing well, and within that, Mahindra is doing well. For the automotive side, we believe that the industry growth has been reasonably good, coming off of a demonetized quarter that we had last year. The PV industry grew 6.1%, but most of the growth, in fact, all the growth has come from the UV growth and not the passenger car growth. For the ninth consecutive quarter, UVs are growing significantly higher than passenger cars. Commercial vehicles had a very good quarter, especially for the light commercial vehicle as well as for the medium and heavy commercial vehicle. The light commercial vehicle grew, there is sub 3.5 ton, grew 29%. And the heavy commercial vehicles grew 54% during this quarter. And within that, Mahindra had very good growth in heavy commercial vehicle, growing significantly more than the industry, and increasing our market share now to 4.1% from 3.5%. And also in the LCV segment, we had a 13.8% growth overall, 7.9% domestic volume growth for Mahindra and Mahindra. The big story right now in the automotive industry, obviously, is electric vehicles. Some of you have been already to the Auto Expo. Some of you, I'm sure, will be going. And you would notice that there's electric vehicle written all over the place. And within that, I'm very happy to say that Mahindra probably has one of the widest portfolio of electric vehicle that we have displayed in the Auto Expo. Looking at the vehicles that we have currently in market, the vehicle that will launch in the next 2 years, and we've also shown some concept vehicles. If I was to look at the actual volume in Q3, it's still very small, but all the same, 27% growth over last year in the four-wheeler. And we have also started selling three-wheelers, electric three-wheelers, and we sold more than 1,000 electric three-wheelers in last quarter. In fact, 20% of 20% of three-wheeler sales in the last quarter came from electric three-wheelers. We are constantly investing on electric vehicle, and I'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. On the export side, we exported 11,426 vehicles and tractors last quarter. Tractors grew by 6%, auto declined by 12%, primarily because of Sri Lanka and Nepal not fully recovering from the slowdown that had happened. Now, if I look at the outlook for quarter four and FY19, basically, we see no headwinds looking at the next 15 months. Everything seems to be going reasonably well. Economy is on growth path, positivity in rural sentiment, and therefore we don't see anything which will slow down the two industries. But I would point out three or four areas to watch on the industry side, which if it goes to extreme could become a problem for the industry. The first one, of course, will be the monsoon. And having had two, three good monsoons, we think that up to 90% rainfall, if it happens, anything less than 90%, could cause a concern. There is a possibility of interest rate hike, and I do believe the 25-50 basis point increase will be all right. If it goes beyond 50 basis point, it could be negative for the industry. Oil prices right now subdued at about 65, but if it goes much beyond 70, then it could be a concern for the industry. And perhaps the biggest one, which certainly is likely to happen, is the commodity prices, which in the last 4 to 6 weeks seem to have become firmer, and we expect to see a higher commodity price growth next year than we have seen in FY18. And that would mean passing on, ability to pass on the commodity price increase in the prices and what impact it might have, if any, on the volume. So other than these three or four things, we see no reason why FY19 should not perform at least as well as FY18. So if you take that into account, our outlook for FY19 is 10 to 12% growth in passenger vehicles. About 10% in commercial vehicles, higher for light commercial vehicle, lower for medium and heavy commercial vehicle, and about 10% growth in two-wheelers. On the tractor side, the growth in Q4, given January already has seen a 38% increase, is likely to be 16-17%, giving us higher than what we had said in the last quarter as the industry growth. Industry growth will be between 15-18% is what we're expecting to see now. And as I said earlier, the estimated industry is 6-8% more than what we saw on the peak in FY14. Next year, we would expect to see the sort of long-term average CAGR of the industry, which is about 8%. In terms of new launches, we will have four new launches for auto and some refreshes in the next year. That is FY19. Two of them are high volume launches, the U321 and S201, and two are NIS launches. One is the Rexton that we showcased in the Auto Expo, and one more that we have not yet talked about. We will expect tractor growth to be in line or marginally better than the industry, and on the basis of two high volume new launches, which are not replacement for existing products, which are going into new segments, we would expect to see a growth higher than industry growth in the automotive segment. We also have the launch of ICV, which will happen in the first half of FY19, that is 8 to 16 ton commercial vehicle, and that should also give us additional volume in the commercial vehicle side. On the tractor side, we have a major launch of a new platform in Swaraj division that will happen during this quarter. And then we have other variants that will be launching in the next year for the Mahindra brand. One final point that I want to make is, or two final points. One is on the inventory. We have ended the last quarter at about the best inventory, dealer inventory that we have seen. In fact, on the automotive side, the inventory was lower than what we would like to see the dealer inventory, and we have made up for that somewhat in the month of January. And on the tractor side, the inventory is roughly where we want to see, and we'll maintain it at that level. And I would like to add that our inventory level at the end of December was better than what it was end of December last year, both in automotive as well as in tractor. the point-to-point increase for material cost for tractor about YTD, that is YTD, about 3.5%, and for automotive, under 2%. And we have taken price increases similar to the price increase on the commodity price on the point-to-point basis. But in tractor, the price increases were somewhat late. Now we have caught up, but were somewhat late. So there was a cash flow deficit that we had in the tractor price increase. This happened because of the GST transition, where it was not possible to take price increases. So that pretty much covers the overview that I wanted to give. I have not covered any of the other businesses and would be happy to take any questions that you may have on what Partha and I have talked about or what we have not talked about. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Shall we begin the question and answer session?
Yes. Yes, please.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Kindly restrict your questions to one per participant. We have a first question from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, and congratulations to the team for a good set of numbers, especially on the automotive side. Pawan, my question pertains to the automotive business. We've seen last two quarters have been fairly a good comeback on the margin front. So if you can just help us understand, and this has happened despite commodity inflation, so if you can just help us understand that whether have we seen the kind of bottom on the margins and this recovery will kind of probably gather more pace as you have more incrementally big launches coming in and the focus shifts back to in a meaningful way towards larger vehicle, which is your core portfolio.
Question, have we reached the bottom of the margin? What is the question?
No, have we seen, as in we had a pretty bad four to six quarter patch on the automotive margins. Last two quarters have been great. I just wanted to understand whether this is part of the margin comeback for the automotive business, or do you see headwinds which can probably take the margins back to the last quarter, last year levels,
yeah,
which was somewhere like sub 5.
So just let me try and understand your question first. If I take the last four quarters, if you take last three quarters, first quarter we did 7%. Q2 was 10.8% and Q3 now, F18 auto has been 8.5%, right? So basically you're saying, is the average of this sustainable? I mean, I would not like to take quarter on quarter, but if you did a three quarter, is it sustainable? I mean, what my CFO of that sector would say, if the model mix is given, if the volumes are at that level, then clearly it is maintainable. However, there is a little bit of quarter-wise margin. Commodity price increase is something that is coming up very rapidly right now. It will, to an extent, depend on how fast and how well we can pass on the commodity. Though, on a full-year basis, I would assume the impact is that we should be able to pass on at least the absolute value, if not the including the margin, but on a single quarter basis, there may be some lag indication. Okay.
I just want to add one more thing that there have been some extraordinary events that have had an impact on our PBIT, especially in auto, in the last two or three quarters, which you need to keep in mind when you are comparing. So if you will recall that in the Q4 of FY17. We had the hit coming because of BS3 ban that was done by the Supreme Court on 29th of March, and we had taken the full hit in the March quarter, that is the Q4 of 2017. Q1 of FY18, we had the hit because of GST, and again, it was a one-time hit that we had taken, which we had talked about. So both Q4 F17 and Q1 F18 were subdued because of these one-time hits.
Okay, fair enough. And on tractor side, Pawan, do you see upside risk to the FY19 guidance, what you're giving? I understand there is a monsoon angle there, but given the growth momentum what tractor has delivered as an industry, it's been a fairly big positive. So do you expect, given the government focus rurally, there could be upside risk to the numbers, what you're guiding for, which is like 8%?
Well, see, this year in FY18, we also had a catch-up still doing, because the peak volume was in FY14. Now that we have reached the peak volume, and this year we will end somewhere between 670, 680 thousand industry size, against 633, I think it was, in FY14. So that sort of pent-up demand or the slowdown effect has already worn off.
Okay.
And therefore, for us to take a potential increase of more than 8 to 10% would probably be not right. Now, having said that, if it happens more, we won't be surprised, because tractor industry always surprises us on either side.
Yeah.
So I won't be surprised if it's more than that. And clearly, we would be prepared for a higher growth than 8 to 10% of the industry. Okay, but in terms of our planning purposes, we are assuming industry growth to be in 8 to 10% range.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, and best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Participants, kindly restrict your questions to one per participant. We have a next question from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. We showcased a multiple number of products, on the electric vehicle side. So just want to take your thoughts on which segments do you see more traction coming in the next, say, 2 to 3 years, particularly in light of changes in emission norms. So you could, touch about viability of products, electric products, after that in case of three-wheelers, four-wheelers, and even two-wheelers, if you have any thoughts there.
So I would, have you been to the Auto Expo yet?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
right.
I have.
So I would not connect the electric vehicle growth that much to emission right now, except for the fact that when BS6 norms come in, the diesel and petrol vehicles, especially diesel vehicles, will become more expensive, and that will, on a relative scale, help electric vehicles, because electric vehicles will not, the price won't increase because of BS6 norms, clearly. Now, if you look at the various segments of electric vehicles, I expect that where we will see biggest growth in electric vehicles will be in commercial application, both on the load side and passenger side, actually more on the passenger side, less on the load side. So that means three-wheelers should see a large volume increase. As of now, all the three-wheelers that are being sold, except for one or two companies, these are more unorganized sector, and most of them are lead-acid battery. Over the next 6 months, you would see several lithium-ion battery three-wheeler launches, including that of Mahindra, which we had displayed in the Auto Expo. And therefore, I think slowly all the lead-acid battery three-wheelers will transition to lithium-ion three-wheeler. The second growth that you will see will be in the buses, where, as you know, that 11 states are issuing tenders for electric buses, both 9 meters and 12 meters, and all the manufacturers, Leyland, Tata, Mahindra, and BYD, are getting prepared, and some others are getting prepared for it. We have displayed our 9-meter bus at the Auto Expo, and we expect to be ready to do volume production in less than 1 year, and small sort of pilot batches sooner than that. And we will participate in many of these tenders. The third one you will see will be on the four-wheeler for aggregators, like Ola and Uber, fleet operators like Lithium that we have, like the order that we have recently gotten from Bhagirath. And therefore, I would see an ESL order, of course, obviously. And you will see increase in volume happening there. As far as ESL is concerned, to be more specific, Mahindra has manufactured and ready to supply all the vehicle that we had contracted for in the tender, that is 150 vehicles. The uptake has been somewhat slow because of the internal processes alignment at ESL. And so far, we are 56 vehicles is what we are delivering so far, and others are waiting to be delivered. And we are waiting right now for the phase two order, which is for the remaining 9,500 vehicles from the original 10,000 vehicles. So if that 10,000 delivery happens during this year, during 2018 or let's say FY19, that clearly will give a very big fillip to electric vehicles. So all said, and this is what I have said in the media, and I'm going to repeat here, that by end of this year, end of FY19, for us to say that electric vehicles now are getting traction, I would like to see, not counting three-wheelers, overall volume of about 3,000 a month for India, not for Mahindra, but for India, about 3,000 a month. And that's what will give me a feeling that, yes, everything that we have talked about, all the thrust that is being put in by the government is working, and that's what is happening. The one risk that I see is what happens to FAME policy, which is due to expire on 31st March. It has been announced that the new policy will come in to replace the old policy, and we do not know right now whether old policy, the new policy will have any reduction in incentive that is, or subsidy that is being given. I hope not, because right now we are at a good equilibrium, and I would not like to see that equilibrium being disturbed. So sorry, a little longer answer, but I'm sure many of you have questions on electric vehicles, so I've tried to cover everything.
No, sir, this is quite helpful. Just one small clarification. When you mentioned about three-wheelers shifting slowly to lithium-ion, does it include e-rickshaw kind of products or shifting to lithium-ion, or does it mean the conventional autos that we have in Mumbai, they're shifting to lithium-ion? Which category are we talking about?
The interest that has been shown by state governments for three-wheelers is in the e-auto space and not in the e-rickshaw space.
Okay.
E-rickshaw space came up sort of with a new segment when all these e-rickshaws came into Delhi. Before that, e-rickshaw didn't exist as a segment, right? Mm. While we are preparing both for e-auto and e-rickshaw, though we have shown only e-auto at the Auto Expo, we are preparing for both. My guess is that we'll probably see more of e-auto than e-rickshaw.
That's quite helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Jamshed Dadavoy from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Sir, just want to follow up on your comments on pricing. I kind of missed that. Could you just repeat what you said for pricing as far as tractors goes and also for UVs, if you'll have taken any price hikes in the third quarter?
What I had said was that the total point-to-point material cost increase during FY19 so far has been about 3.5% for tractors and about little less than 2% for auto. Okay. Point to point, we have passed on the full price increase, but in terms of cash flow, that means timing of passing on, there is a slight sort of gap in tractor. And therefore, while now our pricing reflects the full commodity price increase, but there was a gap in between because the time of transition to GST, we were not able to take a price increase because too many things were changing at the same time. On the auto side, on the other hand, we have managed to get the timing right also, and we have been able to pass on the full price increase.
Okay, so then in auto segment, the quarter-on-quarter dip in margins, 10.8 to 8.5 EBIT margin, what is that on account of? It's only because the drop in sales is not enough to explain the drop in margin.
We have said this many times. I mean, we have been saying it for the last 40 quarters, that please don't compare quarter-on-quarter because there are too many seasonal factors that come in a quarter-to-quarter. And it's always full of risk to see a quarter-to-quarter comparison. There's nothing fundamental that has happened in Q3 from Q2 that would have a negative impact on our margin. So that's the only statement that I can make, but I cannot explain why Q3 was X and Q2 was X plus delta.
Yeah. So just two or three additional comments to what Pavan said. One is that when Q2 generally happens to be the festive season, and this year especially, all the festive has been jumbled into one quarter. Normally it spreads over Q2 and Q3, but this has not been the case. So you've seen a little abnormal margin in Q2, a little subdued margin in Q3 from the festive point of view. So you have to take that into account, but like Pavan said, year on year is the best prerogative, so we'll be able to answer better from that perspective. And that's how you see last year, it was about 110 basis points or something higher than last year, right?
115 basis points
better than last year in auto segment. Just to give a perspective, that last quarter the revenue is about 7,800 crores, and this quarter the revenue will be about 7,000 crores. So that makes, because all the expense remaining same, the productivity benefit that you get on a higher revenue is not there. But back to this one small thing that I wanted to point, and I think this quarter also they have had a stock reduction, which is also from an auto segment point of view, specific only relates to auto segment, is also a 0.3-0.4% kind of 40 basis points impact on their margin because they've reduced stock.
So this 387 crores is only on mostly on the auto side, is it?
Sorry?
The 387 crores that we see in the parent business, that's mostly on the auto side, is it? Change in inventory?
On that 387, I didn't understand that question.
No, you said there's been a stock impact on the auto side. So
only
I'm saying
auto side stock. I know finished goods stocks have come down.
Correct.
So
correct.
So that's 30 basis point, 387. 30 or 40 basis point impact.
Okay. All right.
There's also always a higher year-end discount that always happens in auto.
All right.
Q4 segment is always.
All right. Very useful. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the lineup, Saurav Kumar from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. On this tractor side, what's your current utilization and is this new normal at a 20% margin sustainable?
Yeah, I think the first question aapke muh mein ghee shakkar hai. So broadly if you see the higher revenue which is we've got as a basis on the growth that we have had also helped us with the same productivity which we've been talking on the other side, and it gives us a 20 plus margin. And why not, if all other things being equal? Yeah, there is nothing. If your question is other way around, is there a one-off which our tractor has? I can tell you that there is no one-off which kind of colors. Yeah.
So, but what will be your capacity utilization?
Your capacity. We are at good capacity utilization. It will be 95%.
You're talking about tractor?
Yeah, tractor.
So, in tractor, Swaraj division is absolutely maxed out. And we are fully, in fact, we had to stock some tractors in Swaraj in Q3 to take care of Q4. And we are increasing capacity, and by middle of first quarter of next year, we would have a higher capacity. And on the auto side, farm side, mm-hmm. we have three or four plants, and each of the plant is running some one shift and some two shift.
Napco is two shift, right?
FD is 92%.
How much?
FD is 92%.
Yeah. So FD is 92% utilization on the farm division.
Yeah. So let me ask a counter question, Cap. One of the things they said, if there is growth, is there any capacity?
Yeah, there is shift available.
Yeah. So that's what.
So Zairabad is running one shift. So when we say 92%, this is on the basis of shifts that we are running right now.
Yeah.
And we have a full shift available in Zairabad.
Yeah. So I think one is our capacity to manned is very well utilized fully. But there is also headroom available if there is more. I mean, it will be a good problem to have, and we will not have it overall.
So just assuming 8% growth, your current capacity is then.
That's why I raised that point. Yes, if the volume grows 8 or even higher, we don't have a problem per se. Okay?
All right, sir. I'll come back and thank you.
And in any case, having capacity issue is a much easier problem to solve than having a demand issue.
Thank you, sir. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. We have a next question from the line of Amin Pirani from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on your LCV market share, where you have obviously become a market leader over the last 3 to 4 years. But at the same time, what has happened is that the sub-segment where you are very strong has grown faster, and the other sub-segment, which is the sub, 0.8 or 0.7 ton, hasn't really grown. Now, with the LCV segment growing back as a whole, are you having any product introductions in that smaller segment where you are relatively weaker, and how should we look at your market share going forward if the entire segment grows faster?
Okay, so actually we have a fairly strong product portfolio in the segment that you're talking about, which is, I think what you're referring to is below 2 ton GVW,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have a fairly strong product offering. We have Jito in the 0.5 ton category, both at the load as well as passenger, and the Jito has been constantly gaining market share over competition. And in the middle segment, which is 0.75 to 1 ton, We have we have the Supro, which was launched a little less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And we have just 2 weeks ago launched a heavy-duty Supro. And that heavy-duty Supro is something that gives us an edge over what we had earlier. So between these two products, Hito and Supro, I think we are very well covered. And there's no need for a new product to be launched in that segment. We obviously are working on how to gain a market share. And you're right that our market share is very high in the 2 to 3.5 and relatively low in the sub-2 ton. And our focus will be to increase the sub-2 ton market share. And obviously, even in the 2 to 3.5, you would have seen that we have a very aggressive new campaign that we have just launched with a 4-year residual value guarantee. And with that, right now, we are maxed out on capacity on that segment, and we have back orders. And it's not very often that you have back orders in that segment.
Okay. Fair enough. So that's helpful. And so just one last thing. So on the U321 launch, which, at least to us from the outside, it seems that the launch has been a bit delayed than what we understood would have been a timeline. But internally, is it happening as per your initial feel, or is it a bit delayed? What are your thoughts on that?
So I have heard some murmurs about that there is a feeling that U321 has been delayed. So let me put it this way, that we have 4 launches happening in FY19, okay?
Okay.
Which is U321, S201, Rexton, which was not in the books till recently. And one more product, which is a variant of an existing platform. And we need to plan out in terms of giving good spacing in terms of market launch. So we cannot launch a product when it's ready. We have to also time it properly in terms of gap between 2 product launches. So we are right now in the middle of preparing our launch schedule for each of these products. There's no doubt that within FY19, all 4 will be launched. Okay. I cannot tell you right now what the sequence will be and exactly what will be launched where, keeping in mind that between mid-October to end December, there is not a product launch because that's a dull season. So either we will launch these before mid-October or in January, February.
Okay. Understood. That's helpful. I'll come back in the queue for more questions.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My questions have been answered. Only one question, sir. On the raw material side, what is the kind of cost impact we expect going forward? You have indicated what we have seen in 9 months.
Well, I won't be able to share with you what we are budgeting, but what I can tell you is that the general feeling right now is that other than rubber, commodities will be increasing more steeply than they have increased in the current financial year.
Okay, so this is for entire next year or from Q4 perspective you're highlighting?
I'm talking about next year, not Q4 perspective.
And the second question was on the discounting trends you are seeing in the LCV as well as in MHCV. How to look at those things? Because we hear a lot of discounts are being offered, despite that players are making good margins. And in general, is discounting reducing in LCV side? How to look at things?
I thought your question was answered. Okay, all right. So on the LCV side, I don't think there's anything unusual. The discounting that we have sometimes will go slightly up, slightly lower, but I don't see anything unusual on the LCV side. In fact, on the pickup 2 to 3.5 ton, there is hardly any discounting that we're doing right now with the campaign that we have launched. On the HCV side, in spite of the industry growth being very healthy, 30%, I think, FYTD, there is still discounting at the same level as it was in the previous financial year. I've been told that many of the players now are actually running full capacity. When you combine the supply capacity and OEM capacity, but even then the discount rate has not come down. My take will be that if the growth, the kind of growth that we have seen in the last 3-4 months continues for the next 3-4 months, we definitely would see a reduction in discounting.
Fair point. This is helpful, and for all the best.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Raghunandan from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just on the three-wheeler side, you said 20% of our sales this time was the recently launched electric three-wheeler. So how do you see this electric three-wheeler segment shaping forward, and how do you see the market share gains for organized players? Thank you, sir.
So I think in three-wheeler segment, let me restate it. The fastest penetration or deepest penetration that you would see in electric vehicle, my guess is will be in three-wheelers. Okay, and it's very simply because given the current incentives that we have on three-wheelers, the equation works out very well for the operator. And for operator, the per kilometer running cost with the FAME benefit and the GST rate is about same or maybe even a little lower than it is for the normal three-wheeler. And also from government's viewpoint, the benefit on environment is high with three-wheeler because of inner city running that three-wheelers have. You should therefore see good penetration. Like I told you that we had launched a three-wheeler just about 6 months ago, and last quarter we sold 1,000 electric three-wheelers. And on automotive side, that is four-wheeler side, we sold only about, 350 or so during the quarter.
So how would, organized players such as yourself be differentiating from the, unorganized players in this segment, sir?
One thing I understand is
the warranty and the quality of the product would be far better.
Yeah, so it will obviously be differentiated on that basis that there will be hopefully higher trust that the customer would have when an organized brand or organized player comes into the sector. As you know, that the e-riksha burst that had happened in Delhi, that was all through unorganized players. There were no known three-wheeler players who had launched the e-riksha, and these had all come based on some sort of technology that was imported from outside, components imported from outside. Now, the three-wheelers for the e-auto, that is for the auto-riksha, almost every organized player, the key players in that industry, are working on electric lithium-ion auto, and they'll all be launched in the next 1 to 6 months, I guess. In fact, one or two have already announced that they would be virtually becoming electric and almost replace the current offering with electric offering. So therefore it will be a very fast ramp-up, provided, of course, and that's the only caveat, that the FAME scheme continues beyond 31st March. If the FAME scheme withdraws the support for three-wheeler, then the penetration of three-wheeler will come to a halt.
Thank you, sir. That was very helpful.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star one now. We have a next question from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Sorry about the background noise. So just on two things. One, related to the crash testing norms. Other than Bolero, which other models will you need to upgrade ahead of the deadline? And where is the current final deadline now? I understand that the October 19 might be being pre-advanced a little bit. So could you just talk about that? And secondly, clearly the U321 was supposed to be launched second half of this financial year. So now we are sort of shifting it to the next year, right? So any comments? I guess it comes back to the same question, but just on that.
So I've already answered the U321 launch question. On the first question was
on the crash testing norms.
Crash safety norms, the only project which does not have airbags and ABS in any of the variants is Bolero. And we would be, we are working on that right now, and that's the only one that we will have to upgrade to meet the new crash and safety norms, which now comes in July 19 rather than October 19. And as of now, we don't see any issue in doing.
Right. And just a related question to that in BS6, are we working on any sort of major lightweighting in terms of our modules, in terms of using, other technologies to reduce the weight of the vehicles?
Obviously, we are, but I certainly would not want to share any details on that because that's an information that all of us will be keeping very closely guarded.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Mahesh Bendre from Kavi Equity. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just two quick questions. What will be the tax rate one should look at next year, and what are the capital expenditure plan for next year?
Capital expenditure plan for next year, that was the question, right? Okay. The tax rate for the year so far YTD is about 31.6%. I think it is a reasonable one, which we are seeing going forward. The only thing that gets added to is the cess that came in the budget. Yeah. So next year, if you're looking at it, you would like to add cess to this. So that's how I look at it.
Sure.
Capex, yeah. So second is about capex. Capex, we have talked about
7,500 for 3 years.
Yeah, 7,500 for 3 years in terms of capex. And that figure we generally reconfirm for the next 3 year circle once we come to the new year. So once the next call that we have, maybe in April, May, we will talk about the next cycle. But we have been around this figure for reasonably quite time. So because we have been focusing on product development, which is a major portion. So I suppose it will be around this figure. Yeah? But April will come for the new cycle. At this stage, for a 3 year cycle, it is 7,500.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Jamshed Dadaboy from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
No, my question is answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. To ask a question, participants may press star and one. We have a next question from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity again. Pawan, any update which you can share on the proposed talks with Ford for the automotive business?
No, I think it will be premature, Pramod. As we had mentioned when we signed the MOU, that there are 8 streams that we are working on. Work is going on each of those streams. 2 teams are making contact. And we have not reached a point where we are in a position to make any definitive announcement on outcome of it. All I can say is that all the talks are proceeding well.
Oh, okay. That's
good. None of the 8 topics have been dropped as of yet.
Oh, very good. No, that's very heartening to hear. And Pawan, on the three-wheeler mobility, you did mention that everyone will be launching a lithium-ion three-wheeler sooner than later. But if our understanding is right, based on the spec, the pricing could be as high as 3.5 to 4 lakh rupees without any government subsidy. So I'm just wondering, is there viability from a consumer point of view, given where the three-wheeler current three-wheeler price points are and the break-even level. So do you think there is a commercial market available irrespective of however high may the current, if we take the current frame subsidy, I think it's not going to be good enough. So just want to hear your thoughts on the viability of these lithium-ion three-wheelers.
Okay, I don't know, Pramod, where you got the 3.5 to 4 lakh price point, because at 3.5 and 4 lakh price point, there's no viability. That's not the price point that we're looking at.
So the Treo, what you showcased, is a much more low-cost lithium-ion three-wheeler solution. Is that right?
All I can tell you is that the price point that we think we'll be able to launch this product at, assuming no change in taxation and continuing subsidy, is very much viable for the operator.
No, that's good to hear. Price point seems to be way higher. In that sense, I think probably a low-speed EV could be the solution, but I think good to hear that you're not looking at really high top price points as such.
Others are launching a 3.5, 4.
No, I think all we have to do is just wait for a few more months, as you said. Thanks a lot again, and take care. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchdown phone. We have a next question from the lineup, Prayesh Jain from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So just a medium-term question on capital allocation towards investments in electric versus the ICE engines in the automotive sector. Over like next 3 to 5 years, what would be the strategy on that?
See, unfortunately, we are not in a situation to drop one at the cost of other, because we do not know at what rate will electric vehicles grow in India. And even the government of India seems to have softened its stand about 2030 being full electric, if I was to read between the lines. And therefore, we cannot say that we can slow down on ICE engine and focus only on electric vehicles. Okay. Now, fortunately, on electric vehicles, as long as we're electrifying existing products and not creating brand new products, the investment is not very high. We have talked about investing about 700-800 crores for electric vehicle capacity, and that will give us capacity for as many as 5,000 electric vehicles per month, and that's quite affordable, and that will give us all the backward integration that we want to do. As far as the ICE engine is concerned, we are doing everything that we're intended to do, even without the electric vehicles coming in. We have to meet BS6 in all our products. Of course, we had already made a decision on dropping some products when you go to BS6, low volume product. That continues, and we have to invest in all the safety regulations that are coming in, and therefore there is no letting up of investment in those. The overall figure that we have maintained that Partha talked about remains the same. So electric vehicle do not put too much sort of pressure on investment for us. A lot of the investment happens in R&D done by suppliers like the battery or the cell R&D, which is basically an input to us in a way that cost is built into the cost of electric vehicle in the buying price of components that we buy. And we don't have to invest a lot of money.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Anvish Chandra from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. In the opening remarks, sir, you have talked about new launch from the Swaraj division. Could you elaborate more on that? And also, what's your plan for the Swaraj division in terms of future investment and at least a few launches in coming years?
I cannot give you specific on when the launch will happen and which sort of horsepower range. But I had mentioned in the opening statement it will happen in Q4. So therefore, within the next 6 to 7 weeks, you should see launch of a new platform coming out of Swaraj. In Swaraj, we are constantly working on sort of keeping our portfolio refreshed and invest whatever we have to invest to keep that portfolio refreshed. All our products are doing well. We are looking at some total seat metal changes also in the Swaraj division, where we are doing fresh styling, restyling of all the tractors that we sell in Swaraj. That process will take 2 to 3 years. We had launched a product last year, which is doing quite well. We are looking at products in the lower horsepower range also, because Swaraj does not have a tractor in the sub-20 horsepower, which Mahindra does. We are looking at that also and give complete range, because Swaraj right now is primarily from 20 horsepower to 50 horsepower, whereas Mahindra was from 15 to about 57 horsepower.
Okay, sir. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, just a small one. What do you think of, alternate fuel types like CNG? Do they have a future in your scheme of things? Or you think, given the move towards electric, there's no point in working on those technologies?
I think at least for the next, I would say, 15 years, you cannot ignore CNG, diesel, and petrol. And we have to keep sort of in the front line in these technologies also, as I said earlier.
So which segments you think CNG would be required?
CNG, as it is today, is required in all commercial applications in many of the cities. CNG, as you know, is not available throughout India. And Delhi is the most aggressive in use of CNG. And diesel vehicle cannot be sold, even petrol cannot be sold without CNG in these markets. So there are many cities like that where CNG is most prominent. And as more and more cities get CNG infrastructure, more and more CNG will happen.
Right. That's what I was getting at. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Raghunandan from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Given the pickup in electric vehicle volumes,
when do we see the break-even happening for the electric vehicle subsidiary? Thank you.
Electric vehicle.
When is Mahindra Electric going to break even?
When will Mahindra Electric going to break even? Well, that's a difficult question to answer. See, right now, electric vehicle business is in an investment phase. Okay, and the volumes, in spite of all the talk, are very, very small. We're selling about 100 vehicles a month on an average, and that's pretty much the total four-wheeler volume being sold in India right now. And even though we make money at the variable cost level, that volume is not enough for us to break even. So I would have to think that till the volume reaches, let's say, 10x of what it is today, about 1,000 vehicles per month, it will not be possible to break even. Whether that happens by the end of FY19 or goes into FY20 is hard to say, because the takeoff of electric vehicle volume hasn't happened yet. It's around the corner, but I do not know whether that corner is 1 month away, 3 months away, 6 months away, or 1 year away.
So now that Pawan has made the statements which I should have made, let me say a little reverse one, that if you had asked the same question to Pawan and me 1 year back, we would have been much more kind of circumspect in saying kind of, you know, that it's medium to long term. But in the last 1 year, whatever traction we have seen, both from Government of India and from at the local level, it's kind of multiplied manifold. In fact, Pawan did talk about how much did we sell, and if we compared versus previous year, it will be a manifold growth. So I would kind of say that the optimism of achieving break-even in the medium term has gone up as compared to, 6 months back. So that we are clearly seeing. But we cannot say, more than that at this point of time. Watch this space.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
One last before you close, one comment I want to make to everyone. Some of you may not have had the chance to go through the figures. So in case you have any queries which is not answered on this call, once you go through the statements, if you have anything, please do input into Sriram. We will be comprehensively be able to answer them by sending out something or putting on the website. So because I want to make sure that all of you have all your queries answered. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question.
I just want to also come back on one point. My colleagues here are nudging me to say that I have not answered the BS6 question well, and I should be a little bit more detailed about it. So let me go back to the BS6 question. And I may not specifically answer the question, but let me just make the following statement. we started the work on BS6 on time. And right now, unless we see some major event happening, we would be ready with BS6 on all our products by 31st March 2020 deadline that we have. But if Supreme Court does anything in terms of saying that we have to stop selling by that date, that would mean being ready 3 to 6 months before that date, which right now looks unlikely that we'll be able to do anything much before 31st March 2020 in terms of being ready with BSM. One or two vehicles may happen, but when I'm talking about full portfolio. That's point number one. Point number two is that we have had no nasty surprises as we develop BS6, and therefore everything is as we had planned or little better. There's no nasty surprises. Number three, Mahindra and I presume others also are not looking at BS6 transition only, let's go from BS4 to BS6. They're also looking to see how do I make the product better for the customer and take this as an opportunity to offer a better product along with BS6. And we are also working on the same. One specific point that I want to make is on our 2-liter engine, where with BS6 we'll be launching a brand new engine, which is lighter than the current engine, which is more fuel efficient than the current engine, which is more refined in terms of noise than the current engine, and therefore it's not just BS6. It is also improving the product along with it in terms of what the consumer will see. So and the lightweighting,
features, technologies that we put in the vehicle, all of that will happen along with BS6 to varying degree on various products. As I said, I presume that almost all the manufacturers are looking at it the same way. Okay, so now.
Thank you. So we have one last question come up.
Sure. Yeah.
We have the last question from the line of Srinath Krishnan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. In terms of product development capabilities, sir, I guess there's a lot of difference between a three-wheeler truck and, a passenger vehicle. But when we move to, electric mobility, does the synergies increase, sir, because you have built a lot of capabilities in electric vehicle? Do you think you can differentiate much better when rather synergies increase when you move to that space?
Well, the synergy, when you look at three-wheeler, okay, when you look at IC engine, the same synergy exists in engine development, okay? We take engine for granted, but the fact is that engine also has gone through the same evolution as electric powertrain is going through now. And when we develop an engine for three-wheeler or develop engine for four-wheeler or develop engine for truck, the same set of people who have the technical knowledge of engine development work on the engine. Same thing is happening with electric vehicle. When we develop a battery, motor, converter, power electronics for a three-wheeler versus four-wheeler versus truck, the same synergy happens across these various segments. And therefore, I will not say that it is any more or any less than in case of engine. The difference is that in case of engine, it's sort of diffused in the sense that most of the components are bought out. And we do some machining in-house and put the engine together. Whereas in case of electric powertrain, we are doing a lot more backward integration than we do in the case of engine. And therefore, as you know, that we have announced that we'll be doing two JVs, one for motor and one for power electronics, and we will be doing battery in-house, which we don't do in case of engine. But here, battery is the heart of the vehicle, and therefore, if you were to buy the battery fully assembled, then we are, in a way, buying a fairly significant component of the cost of the product, and therefore battery is being done now. So I will right now tend to think that the synergy across the portfolio is roughly the same as we have in the case of engines.
Yeah, Pawan, I want to ask that question a little differently, just so that within the organization it's not different, but vis-a-vis competition or vis-a-vis relative, because others have the same engine kind of capability maybe, but EV. That, I think, is another angle, maybe.
No, so see, that angle, of course, is different because Mahindra got started sooner than others. And therefore we probably have an edge over others right now. Though I will not know what others are doing, how far they have caught up, I don't know that. But logic would say that we probably have an edge over others. And other different advantage is one more thing that I just thought of, that in case of engine, there is no separate group that supplies engine to M&M Limited. In case of electric powertrain, Mahindra Electric is a company that supplies electric powertrain to Mahindra and Mahindra. And therefore, everything is concentrated in one unit. And to that extent, perhaps that unit can leverage synergy better across the various product lines than one can in the case of engine. Okay, interesting question. I will ponder over it a little bit more.
Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for any further closing comments. Over to you, sir.
No, thank you. Thanks for all the participants, too. Many of you are in the Auto Expo. Thanks for taking time to participate. We know that a lot of you are traveling to the airport. Thanks for taking the call. And as Partha mentioned, if there are any further questions, please feel free to send us your question. And we'll be able to respond it in a way when all of you can get the information. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IDFC Securities Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thanks for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.